Hello, and welcome to Returning to Us, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to hack your brain, build and strengthen relationships, and to teach people how to recognize and neutralize their emotional states. I'll discuss emotional intelligence and regulation, how food and exercise impact the body and brain, and share lessons from my own lived experiences. I'm Lauren Spiegelmeyer, the founder of the Behavior Hub, which is an organization that works to reduce the stressors of raising and educating children through a brain and biology-based lens. In these episodes, I'll share stories and strategies from my own life, work, and research, answer listener questions, and wrap it up with a try-at-home tip. Decades worth of information in just minutes. You ready? Hey, we are switching gears a little bit here. I wanted to kind of, so here's the background story. I have been teaching for the University of Pennsylvania with cohorts of graduate education students. And these are all students who are pretty well into their career. They're not just out of undergrad. They're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And in the last couple of weeks, man, I've really seen, and this is the time of the year that this typically happens, but also it's more noticeable this year. People are drained. Teachers are exhausted. I mean, I can see it on their faces. I can see it in their bodies. They don't have to tell me I can see it. So we're talking a lot about like well-being, mental health, stress management, self-care. If anyone has a better word for self-care, please let me know. I've been trying to find something that replaces that word that's not so kind of triggering, because that's what we're after. We want to take care of ourselves, but there's got to be a better word for this. Anyhow, I wanted to share the next couple episodes, a couple things that these people could do, and or if you are one of them, what are some ways that you can improve your health, but it doesn't take long, like 3 to 5 minutes max, and you'll start to feel better when you consistently get into a routine with these, we're going to call them micro practices. So today I'm going to run you through the 5-minute workout. So this is a series of exercises that you can do in 5 minutes with no equipment in your home, no gym needed. You don't need to do it in your home. You could do it at lunch, at school, but anywhere, work, whatever. The point is it takes less than 5 minutes and no equipment. And these particular exercises work on different parts of your body and muscles that really help improve like longevity and functioning. They're like some functional based movements and based on some work of Aaron Alexander. It's a person I've talked about, referenced before. He talks a lot about alignment and how we sit and our posture and our blood flow and all these things. These movements kind of hit on some of the big areas that he talks about, things we need to do every day, things we need to do to build optimal health or to maintain optimal health. These movements of joints and body parts in certain ways that get blood flowing. And if you get blood flowing, you kind of get the gunk out, but you also get oxygen to your brain. And when you get oxygen to your brain, you think more clearly, you make more rational choices, you stay more emotionally regulated. And all of this, let's kind of go into the background of this. Before I even share some of these things, I want to talk about why movement, in particular strength training, is really important for our health. But let's back up a step here, because I think beyond just feeling exhausted from our work, feeling good in our bodies today in this society is so hard. Why? Because we are constantly seeing images of what other people have or what they look like or these perfect bodies. Social media can help and heal a lot of people. It is also so detrimental to our mental health in many ways. We are constantly seeing things we didn't know existed. So we think we get to have all these outfits or products or special workout equipment, or we see these people with these perfect bodies. Maybe some of it is because that is their work. Like, it is their work to have a nice body. And some of us are just genetically blessed. I have people ask me all the time, like, what workouts do you do? What do you, you know, how do you keep your body so fit? You run this business and you have children. How do you do it? A lot of it, y'all, is genetics. But also, I do make this a significant and intentional part of my life. Moving my body, working out, strength training, I make time for it. And even if it's 5 minutes a day, I make time for it. So I'm committed to the practice and it shows in my life. Okay. So the problem with all of this and like seeing what everyone else has and comparing our lives, everyone else is the comparison, because it, it makes it hard to even start because you're like, wow, I am here and I am so far from there, and I'm comparing myself to there, and therefore I shouldn't even get started because I just can't even win to begin with. And marketing is geared towards that. Marketing is geared towards our weaknesses and showing us and convincing us how we can be better, do better, have better, and they sell us the thing. If you want to be better, do better, have better, you have to do the thing, not buy the thing. So, what we want to do is we want to check ourselves. Are you comparing? Are you feeling shame, jealousy, grief? If you're feeling these heavy emotions about where you are and where you want to be, don't give up. Focus on taking teeny tiny little micro steps. And the more that you do those, the more consistent you are with them, the more you can build on that habit. The more you build on that habit, the more of a routine you create. The more of a routine you create, the more your body changes, the more your mind changes. Here's the thing: if you have a strong body, you have a strong mind. Because the internal kind of works its way out to the external, and the external is eventually reflected based on what's going on in the internal. So, in addition to just getting started in micro practices and how this is beneficial for our health, there are some specific things like the oxygen, for one. If you move your body, oxygen gets carried through your bloodstream, oxygen goes to your brain. Oxygen in your brain means clarity, problem solving. Mental clarity, more space to remember, more space to solve problems, more space to be able to regulate emotions. We all want that. So 5 minutes of my day and time is worth that. But also, when you move your body, especially like early in the morning or first thing in the morning, there's something called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. All you need to know about this is that when you move your body, it increases. And why does it matter if it increases? Because it is fertilizer for your brain. BDNF, fertilizer for your brain, increases when you move your body. Best if we can get that kind of all happening in the morning first thing, because all kinds of chemicals in there we kind of want to wash out. We want that BDNF to kind of put us in a really positive, uplifted space to start our day, because we start high, we stay high. In addition to all of this, sleep. Movement, strength training improves your sleep. It gives you energy and helps you to sleep better, stronger, more well rested. I know a lot of times we will think, whew, I'm too tired to be able to move my body. I don't have the energy. Moving your body will give you more energy. There's a ton of research behind that. This is all critical to your well being. And here's like the last little bit of science behind this. It's all imperative to your well-being because muscles are extremely important. They create the energy that we need to not only survive, but also to thrive. When your muscles are strong, your mind is strong. You gain more energy, you sleep better. The hardest part is just getting yourself to take the first step. The hardest part is just doing it, getting there to do it. Like the actual act of doing it isn't really as hard as it is to just get started with doing it. So get yourself there, set yourself up for success. If it's, you know, doing this in your home, what's the visual reminder? Do you have a reminder in your phone? Do you need like a mat or a defined space? Do you need to set out workout clothes? What do you need to have success with a 5 minute workout practice? If it's somewhere else, at school, wherever, define that space, define what you need to have in that space, make it easy as possible for you to get started. Muscles are also important because they break down, soak up all that sugar floating around our bodies from sugary foods, but also from things like pasta and potatoes and breads and anything that you have that turns into sugar, wine. Wine, I'll say that one again. The muscles soak these things up. And that's important because we don't want that high sugar to impact our insulin levels, because what happens if our insulin levels are not taken care of? We develop diabetes. And there's a massive increase and increasing rate of diabetic diagnoses in the United States and across the world. But this is one way you can combat it. Doesn't take a lot of time, doesn't take any money. So what if you don't? What if you don't take care of your body? What if you don't start a practice like this? Well, you lose muscle mass as you age, starting at 30, definitely by 50. And if you don't rebuild that muscle mass with intention, simple little tasks that you do every day might become really hard for you. And things that you've wanted to do at 30, 40, 50, 60 might become harder. Like you might not be able to play with your kids, go to the park, grandkids maybe. So for me, when I think about this, I'm like, I want to live physically well for a long time. I want to be able to interact with my kids, my grandkids. I want to be able to hike for a long time. I want to be able to kind of do crazy fun things that involve having a healthy body. So although that's then and then and that's in the future and it's not now, that work starts now. Lean muscle mass. Having a healthy body is one of the greatest predictors of a long and healthy life. It's one of the greater of the many predictors of a happy, healthy mind, your mental health. This tiny little practice I'm about to share with you all can make massive changes in your life. So let's talk about what it is. We're going to start super, 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 super small. I'm going to tell you classic five movements that you can do anywhere. The very first is lunges. If you don't know what a lunge is, you're basically standing with your feet hip width apart. And I'm going to recommend going back first. So you take one leg, you kind of lift it up, and you put it back behind you, and you drop down. And that's a lunge. And then you bring your foot back up and your hip width again apart. And then you take your other leg, and then your other leg, and then other leg, and then you go back and forth. And you do this for 20 to 30 seconds max. And then you stop. Once you feel like you've mastered the reverse lunge, basically like stepping back and kind of doing like a little squat, then you start to lunge forward a little bit harder. Lunge forward. The most important thing too is your the most important thing, but one very important thing is when you're doing these exercises, you want to maintain as best as possible like the right posture and the right degrees with your movement, because if not, then it could cause injury. So keeping your chest kind of upright and back and your shoulders back as you're lunging, not really bent over. Unless what you could do, and what I often do, is if I'm lunging, I'll cross my arms and I'll kind of put them on my shoulders and I'll just hinge a tiny little bit forward. So I'll just kind of lean a little bit forward until I can feel my abdominal area engage. Okay, so my abdominal area engages and then I go into a lunge and I'm just leaning a tiny bit forward because I want that abdominal engagement. Once you've mastered going reverse and then going forward, then you can try doing both together. So what you would do is you would, let's say if I'm on my left foot, I pick up my right foot, I go back into a reverse lunge, I come back up, I do not put my foot down, and I keep going forward into a forward lunge, and then I switch to my other leg. So moving right fluidly from reverse into forward lunge. Okay, lunges, number one, super easy, just 20 to 30 seconds. Reverse flies. So basically, you're again putting your feet hip width apart, you're hinging over, so bending forward, and then you are taking your arms, your hands, maybe you can even make them into fists. So kind of pretend like you have maybe a weight or something in them. And you just take your arms and you fly them out like wings of a bird. And I'm physically doing this as I'm walking you through it. And just even doing this, I'm like, whoa, my back is tight. And why, Lauren? Because you've been sitting at a computer, been on a computer, lifting a small child, and your back is really tight. So these are really great exercises for someone who sits all day or is lifting kids or just has tension and stress that is held in their upper back and neck. Again, just 20 to 30 seconds out, in, arms out, arms in, arms out, arms in. And you kind of want to go wingspan. So you want to, like a bird. So you go all the way out until your shoulders are, arms are, elbows are up at your shoulders, and then come back in. Reverse fly. The next is squats. So with a squat, you're just again hip width apart. You could do wider than hip width, like a sumo squat. So you go real wide if you wanted to. I would start with hip width and then eventually go sumo. But with this one, all you are doing is you're just kind of leaning your weight back on your heels. So you can kind of feel more weight on your heels. You can kind of pick your toes up a little bit. And you are squatting down, you're bending your knees and squatting like you're sitting in a chair. And you're going all the way down until your legs, your quads, your hamstrings are both kind of parallel to the floor. So down pretty far. You don't need to go into a deep squat where they go below your knees, but you're basically going even with your knees. And then you come back up. as you improve with this, you could add weights. You don't have weights, you could put your hands behind your bed. It makes it a little bit harder. Even put your hands out in front of you, like straight out in front of you. And eventually, you could do a one-legged squat. It's called a pistol squat. I have been doing squats for quite a while. I've done a lot of squats with weights. I cannot do a pistol squat yet. Yet. All yet. But that's a hard one. So we've got lunges, reverse flies, squats. Again, 20 to 30 seconds. That's it. Press ups, otherwise known as push ups. This was one, oh gosh, I'll be honest, I hate push ups. I really hate them. But you know what I've done? I had a trainer to kind of help me through hating push ups less, or maybe even beginning to like them. And what we did was we put the, and this requires equipment, but you can do push ups without equipment. So how I learned to love these and how I become to learn to improve my form with these is I use the weight bar, the bar for stacking weights on it at the gym, and I set the bar up very, very low on the weight rack, like probably almost as low as it can go. And what I do is I put my hands kind of shoulder width apart on the bar, and I kind of bend over my chest and kind of get my feet lined up with my body. So I bend my chest down to the bar, down to where my hands are. I put that there and I kind of spread my feet out to determine where my feet need to be in ratio to my hand. Okay, so then I get into my push-up position. And I do 10, 12, 15 push-ups from that position. Now, that for some reason for me, and not for some reason, scientific, I don't like floor push-ups. Floor push-ups are really, really hard. And that makes sense because there's a lot of like weight that you're pushing, your body weight, you're pushing up and down when you're flat on the floor. It gets a little bit easier when you are at a bit of an incline. It's like the easiest way to start push-ups. If you don't do push-ups, don't like push-ups, struggle with push-ups, just do the wall. Put your arms hand width or hand width. Put your hands shoulder width apart on the wall and just push your body against the wall. Push out against the wall. That is a standing push-up. I do that with kids a lot. Once you feel like you've mastered that and you want to go to the next level, maybe try pushing up on something that is off the floor. Like you could push up on like a coffee table, or you could push up on like a really sturdy table. You could push up on the edge of your bed. You could push up on the edge of a chair. Those are all ways to add some more resistance, but not go full blown to the floor. That's why I really liked the weight bar because it lifted me up a little bit and it wasn't quite as hard, but allowed me to really perfect my form. And I think one of the reasons why I shied away from push-ups was because I struggled with form. So when you're doing this, you want your hands hip width, your hands shoulder width apart on whatever surface it is. And when you're pushing up, you don't want your elbows to flare out because when your elbows flare out, it kind of really strains your shoulders. So tuck your elbows, not all the way into your sides, but kind of somewhere between like 90 degrees up and tight against your body, in between that, kind of where it feels just kind of natural and comfortable. And then you are pushing up all the way up, and you kind of can even go a little bit like beyond what you think. So like when you push a little bit beyond your shoulders, kind of like you kind of feel a lifting in your shoulders. And then you go back down until your chest is at the bar, or your chest is at the table, or your chest is at wherever it is. And eventually, when you get really, really good at them, you can move to the floor. You can also do them on the floor. And instead of doing them up on your toes, you can be down on your knees. That removes some of the resistance. So that's one way to kind of do push-ups at a somewhat harder level, but not all the way on your toes. So I will sometimes do push-ups on my knees on the floor if I don't have something around me that I can kind of be elevated on. But again, just important to keep kind of elbows tucked a little bit to reduce that strain on your shoulder and your hands hip width, not hip width, shoulder width apart. Talking through these is so much harder than being able to just physically show you, but I can't do that on a podcast. Okay, the last one, glute bridges. With this one, you are just kind of laying on the floor and kind of focusing on your shoulders being back and your shoulders being down against the floor. And you bring your feet, your heels back towards your bottom. And at this point, your hips might be raised up a little bit. And what you do here is you kind of thrust up with your hips. So feet are on the floor, you're digging into your heels, your shoulders are hard on the floor, and you're lifting your whole body up. And the goal here is to really kind of like keep your, from your knees to your shoulders, keep that kind of like straight and flat so that when you do lift up, it kind of all goes up together and then back down and then up and then down, 20 to 30 seconds. That's all. If you master that and you're like, all right, this has gotten really easy, then try just doing it on one leg instead of using both legs to lift your hips up. And if you're someone that's like, this particular position isn't working for me, or I can't lay on the floor because it's muddy or too dirty or unsafe, whatever it is, you could always use something like a wall or something to hold on to, and you could stand hip width apart and put all your weight on one foot and take the other foot. So if I'm on my left foot, I'm taking my right foot and I'm kind of kicking back, and I'm just kicking back. I'm lifting my leg and putting it back. So I'm actually taking my leg back. I'm making my leg straight, taking my leg back, making it straight, and lifting up. Again, if you don't feel comfortable with your glute bridges, you could stand on one foot, use something to balance, take a leg straight back, and just lift that leg up. And that's it. Here are your five movements: lunges, reverse fly, squats, press ups, push ups, glute bridges. Do them all 20 to 30 seconds. Stop, move to the next exercise, do it two times. That's it. That keeps you under 5 minutes, and it gets some big body movements and releases all the tension in the big tense areas of your body. One big thing here, for consistency's sake, try and pair this with something that is like already in routine or already a part of your day, like first thing when you wake up in the morning, or when you're having your cup of coffee, or at lunch, or before you go to bed. I mean, best earlier in the morning, because again, that BDNF, the cortisol reduction, all these things, there are benefits to doing it first thing in the morning. But maybe you're just like, I get out of bed and I just move, and that's how I roll. That's okay. Do it at lunch, or do it at the end of the day, or do it after dinner, or do it before bed. As long as you get it in, it's done. And the important thing is, it's done. 5 minutes. Do it while you watch TV. 5 minutes, five exercises. Super easy. And that takes us to today's listener question, which is related to this. If I am overwhelmed and I'm exhausted, how can I possibly make improvements to my life and overall health? Like, how can I even do this? 5 minutes. Check in with yourself. If you're aware that you feel this way, then you're aware that you need to make some changes. And yes, everything feels heavy. And yes, you feel exhausted. And yes, you feel like you don't have time or energy to do anything. But micro steps, you start to see a little bit of an improvement. You gain motivation. And it makes it easier to keep going. And you start to see changes, positive changes. And then you keep going and you increase and you build a routine and you build a habit. And it becomes much easier to build off of that. I have been here. I've been in places in my life where I'm like, I'm so overwhelmed and I am stressed to the max. And you get into this cycle of like unable to get out. The only way to get out of the cycle is to take a micro step forward. This is a micro step forward. You build off of this, but you have to take the step first. If you can't handle 5 minutes, do 2 minutes or 3 minutes. That's possible. 2 to 3 minutes every day. There are like 1,440 minutes in a day. If you're really struggling, find a group of people to do it with you. Find some accountability. Like, you don't need to go meet them in person and do it, but can you have like a group text thread and like check in to make sure you're all doing it every day? Like, yep, I've done it. You could even go as far as, and I'm not sure that I don't always like this, but some people it works really well for, is having a group do it. And if someone doesn't do it, then you have maybe like a consequence. So like, I've seen people do like, if you don't do it, you have to put $5 into a group like pot. And at the end of the week, whoever did it gets to split that pot between them. I'm more of like a positive reinforcement person. So I'm like, okay, if I do it, I get some type of reward. Versus punishing myself for not doing it, because I don't like the negative side of things. But hey, if it works for you and it gets you doing it, that's what matters. The other thing that's helpful too is just, again, setting up your environment to do this and putting up visual reminders or putting up reminders in your phone. You're gonna forget to do it. Like, here's a good example. I wanted to adopt a habit of just taking five deep breaths every morning when I get up out of bed. It's easy to do. It doesn't take long. It's not hard. I don't need anything to do it. I forget it almost every morning because I'm like, oh, I just forget to do it. I started putting up a visual reminder of just the word breathe, and that reminded me every morning when I wake up to do this. So it became a lot easier. If you don't have the reminder, you're probably going to forget to do it. Okay, to wrap up our show, I'm going to share with you our try at home tip, which is, I'm not giving you a tip because I just gave you a tip. It's doing the five classic movements: lunges, reverse fly, squats, push-ups, glute bridges. That's your try at home tip. Okay, so that's it for today's episode of Returning to Us podcast. Remember the try at home tip, the classic five movements. If you are looking for more support in the areas of stress, trauma, behavior, and the brain, I would love to coach you through this. I would love to help support you through this. And that's why I created the Behavior Hub, to coach parents, to coach educators through their own stress management around raising children and how to improve children's lives by coaching them on emotional regulation and mental health supports and well-being of their children. So, best way to reach me to learn more about any of this or just have a conversation with me is to text me 717-693-7744 or go into the Behavior Hub and shoot me a message that way. Also, if you're looking to adopt coaching support organization-wide, so not just for individual people, for not just individual parents or not just individual educators, for an entire organization, Five Ives does this work. It's an organization I created with my partner, Jessica Doring, and we work through multiple levels of stress management, trauma-informed care, burnout prevention, lots of coaching support for an organization as a whole, so that staff as a whole don't burn out and leave. If you want to learn more about that, have a conversation with us, fiveives.com, Fiveives. Until next episode, I'm Lauren Spiegelmeyer. Thanks for joining me.